buildings are open to you, but no, we're not doing it. Not in August.
Ready?
We're trying to get our own act together.
Okay, we're about to...
Yeah, they took some, they took some chance they didn't need to.
Yep. Okay. Good evening, everyone. It is August 19th, 2020. In compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building and distributed to the Hunterdon Review, the Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. You all please rise for a flag salute, followed by a moment of silence to honor our first responders, healthcare workers, and our servicemen and women.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item of business is presentation of minutes. I would ask for a vote or any comments on the minutes of the regular meeting from August 5th, but I would ask to table the executive session minutes from August 5th into executive session to discuss a potential correction to those minutes. So any comments or on the regular minutes from August 5th, 2020?
I'll make a motion to approve the regular meeting minutes of August 5th, 2020.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And with that, we would open the meeting to public comment, limited to agenda items only, reminding everyone that this meeting is recorded, posted on the website shortly, and you will need to press star 6 to unmute yourself. Is there a motion to open to public comment?
Make a motion to open to public.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. With that, if any member of the public would like to make a comment, limited to the agenda items, please press star 6 and identify yourself.
Can I speak?
Yes.
Okay. Lori Hoffman. I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I would like this ordinance that's going to be put out today to be put on hold until the historians are able to discuss it. The historians were never told anything about the changes. The historians were able to help write the original ordinance, and now it's being changed without the historians' knowledge why this is being, there are being changes, and why no input from the historians.
Thank you for your comment.
How do you unmute?
Can an individual press, do you have a, ideally you have a mute on your own phone, otherwise you could try star 5, but I'm not sure. Any other comments from the public? One of you can go ahead. Thank you for that. We will redouble all of our efforts to speak into the microphones.
The microphones won't have any effect for that.
Can you hear me, Gene?
You'll get into the speaker.
Yeah, but they're out there.
Gene?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't know how much we can do without. If we turn the speakers up, that's when we get the feedback.
Just project. We'll
look towards the phone and project, I guess.
Any other comments from the public?
Hello.
Yes.
I think in a time like this, our town needs to set an example that we aren't a place that accepts new cities. The amendment to this resolution will send a message to our community that we stand with them and that we support equity and equality for all. If we turn our back on part of our community by ignoring their calls for change, we're maintaining our own comfort, then how are we a community that serves everyone? So I think now is the time to listen and learn and grow, and it's important that we grow together rather than apart. So this town is a great place to live, but there is always room for improvement. So this amendment ensures that this town does not stand for systems that are capable of improvement. I hope you choose to stand up and speak out by supporting this amendment. To remain silent while people stay safe is to support peace. And as a community, that amendment spreads love. It would mean a great deal to support this amendment and show us that we voted to support it. So thank you, and have a good night.
Thank you for your comment. Any other member of the public? Press star 6.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
My name is Devin Chay. I'm from Rosemont, Ontario. And I just want to echo Sarah's comment that I'm asking the committee friends to respond to the request to amend the resolution 1820. I support the proposed amendment, and I look forward to hearing the committee's plans to show that Rosemont Township is committed to ensuring a safe community for all where hate and discrimination are not tolerated. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other member of the public? Press star 6 to unmute yourself.
Hello?
Yes.
Are you there?
Yes, we're here. I'd say the gentleman first.
Hi, Vic Hoffman, 213 Buffalo Road. I also am a member of the Historians, and I'm a little bit flabbergasted that this amendment is being approached. I always thought the committee was a committee that showed transparency. And as such, if I hadn't talked to a neighbor, I never would have known that this amendment was even being brought up. Is there a reason why the historians were not notified? Am I getting an answer or not?
We'll take that up. We'll take that up in order.
Excuse me?
We'll take that up in when we get to it in the agenda.
Right.
Any other comment from you, Mr. Hoffman? Otherwise, next comment.
Hi, this is Joyce Leslie. I don't know if I'm going to ask this. Okay, can
you yes, you're up.
Okay, great, thank you. I guess just an answer to Vic. I'm confused why you never even asked that question, because I thought this was on the agenda and in the record the receipt that you got, but so I'm a little confused by that. But I guess I'd just like to add some comments that were made to support this addition to the resolution. I'm really hopeful that these additional comments being added are going to be a no-brainer. I mean, I think it strengthens our individual rights resolution. We already, I don't know if anybody else mentioned this, but the North Hunterdon Gordon High School has already approved similar things like this. And I can't imagine anybody disagreeing with the sentence. There are these two additional pieces of sentences that
would
strengthen our community's resolve. So that's all I have.
Thank you for your comment. Anyone else? Please identify yourself. Press star 6 if you...
Go ahead.
This is Karen. I live on Morton Road, and I'm a member of the North Hunterdon Anti-Racism Coalition. I'm also calling to express my support for modifying Resolution 18-2020 based on that have occurred in our township and neighboring communities and communities outside of our immediate area, as well as statements that we can see being made on local Facebook forums. We feel it's really important for our township leadership to specifically state your opposition to hateful language and actions. We were encouraged to see the North Carolina Board School Board take specific action to address racism at a recent board meeting, as well as a committee on diversity and inclusion being formed in Hybrid. And we feel that Lebanon Township should join the growing list of communities and organizations which have stepped up to address hate, bigotry, and racism. So I just hope that you will consider this tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. I think there was another person.
Yeah, good evening. It's Bobby Elder. I don't ever be thrown in all the time. Also, wanted to voice my support for your consideration of requesting to amend 18-2020. I think Sarah Vargas said it better than I ever could, so I'll just echo her remarks. We've all learned a lot this year, in particular, and a lot of communities across the country who didn't think that they had problems or issues around bigotry and intolerance and hatred have come to find that they do. And this is an excellent opportunity to set our community standards high where they belong, without pinching on free speech or getting into some of the thornier issues. You don't often get a chance to do something really good that doesn't cost any money, and I hope you'll consider doing just that tonight.
Thank you for your comment. Is there any another member of the public? Again, you may have to press star 6 if you're not being heard.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you. Thank you for your comment. Is there another comment?
Hello. Yes, this is Nina Savoya from 40 Musconetcong River Road. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you, Nina.
Thank you. I would just like to ask that the historian ordinance would be postponed for at least another month so that we can further understand it. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. I believe there's another person.
Yes. Yep. My name is Kim Rogers. I live in California. But since California and Lebanon Township are so closely tied, I wanted to also voice support for the amendment for Resolution 18-2020 and just echo all the voices that have already spoken and emphasize that I think all of us here living in this area want to be a more welcoming community. And this is just another way for us to go, you know, even further to say that we are willing to have a strong resolve when it comes to hate speech, hate actions, that this would be, there would be no tolerance for that. And so I hope that you can adopt the resolution, the amendment to the resolution tonight. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Is there someone?
Hi,
Catherine, the floor is yours. Yes, we hear you.
Hi. Oh, good. 186 River Road. I'm a member of the Historians and also on the Environmental and Open Space Commission. As far as the Historians Amendment for amending of the code, I am in favor of amending the code because apparently it is absolutely necessary that clarification be in place. I see no reason whatsoever to public hearing is until September 16th, and we can drag this down the road forever. It needs to be handled quickly, it needs to be handled succinctly, and I'm very much in favor of discussion. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comment. Is there another comment? Is there another member of the public? Yes, I'm hearing someone.
And they were in Spanish. They were in English, too, but given the comments that were on Facebook, I don't know if this is what prompted those kind of maybe complaints to the county, but it's very disturbing. I don't have any, like, prohibited swimming in the Muskinecta. Like, is that all of the Muskinecta, or just the water right there at the Muskinecta? And if this is how that happened, from people getting upset that there were non-white people there, that's really disturbing. And it's a good reason why we shouldn't have the event. I was sort of wishy-washy about it, because I wasn't sure that it was needed, but not needed. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Is there anyone else making a comment? Hearing no one else. At this time, if you could all please make sure your phones are muted again. And is there a motion to close public comment?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. First item on the agenda then is the introduction of an ordinance number 2020-10, an ordinance amending Chapter 40 to the Code of the Township of Lebanon, specifically titled Historian Committee. This is amending the Historian Committee ordinance. Public hearing for this would be held on September 16th. So the background to this is about a year and a half ago, we officially introduced the ordinance creating the Historian Committee, acknowledging that the Historian Committee had been functioning for quite some time prior to this, but the attempt was, or the need was to formalize its creation through an ordinance. Almost from the first day, there was discussion trying to clarify different words in the ordinance. I think the challenge was that the intent, the scope of activities for the historians is not changing in this discussion tonight. The intent from the beginning was always to try to describe how the Historian Committee would collaborate with the museum that the township owns and the township employees who function in that museum, the curator, assistant curator. And I think what we found was, over the past year and a half, there have been numerous conversations trying to clarify what each word means in that collaboration. And I think what we found is it's very difficult to put into words what collaboration exactly is. We put in a word like collaborate and provide direction to the museum. Well, when you go back and look at the word direction in the dictionary, there are about six different definitions of direction, and different people pick different meanings to that. We've been advised also nearly from the beginning by our attorney that in no way can we have a volunteer committee directing or managing or having township employees report to them. So what is happening here tonight is... Okay. I'm sorry. I'm going to try to mute the lines one more time.
All participants are muted.
So the amendments tonight are really being driven by our attorney, who highly advises them to straighten out the reporting lines, the authority of the different committees, in addition from a fresh set of eyes from our administrator, who's met with different members of the historians to try to understand where the misunderstandings are, and as well as from the liaison to the historians, who's had hours of meetings over the past year from time to time. Myself, I've had a number of conversations. It's not meant to change the scope or what the valuable work of the historians are. It's meant to clarify some legal issues and really to provide direction on both sides. I think my feeling is the Historian Committee was as much concerned about living up to the responsibilities that they felt were described for them in the ordinance, as well as to understand what their authority really was. So the amendments to this to the ordinance that are proposed to be introduced tonight would be to make it clear in the purpose of the historians that it's an advisory committee. The purpose of the historian committee is to advise the township on preserving the knowledge and artifacts of history pertinent to the township residents, as well as to conduct activities to educate the public on such history in order to improve the quality of life for all involved. Then the next change would be down under the powers. This would be Chapter 83, Section 5. We found that we described the position of the museum curator and assistant curator, and it's really not necessary since they're not members of the historian committee, and we felt that that was creating some of the confusion here because we don't have township employees described in other committee ordinances, and in this we tried to describe how a group interacts with township employees, and we felt that that was not only creating confusion but creating legal issues for the township on advice of the attorney. So we've deleted the references to the township curator and assistant curator, and then did not change powers A, B, C, made it clear in one or two spots that they advise, the historian committee is to advise on things, and that's just a function of action can't be taken in the township, you know, municipal corporation, the action is taken by the elected governing body, which is this body that you're speaking to tonight. So those were a couple of minor changes in this ordinance. Does anyone else on the committee want to address that, or does the attorney or anyone else? And I should also mention that the historian chairman stated that he wasn't aware of this. My understanding is that he met with the administrator and the clerk last Wednesday, and he was told that this was happening. I assumed he was telling the historian committee at their meeting Thursday night, but apparently there was some miscommunication. But this was meant to be done in full transparency, and we've made every attempt to do it in full transparency.
Can I suggest a meeting with the historian committee?
You'd like to have a meeting with the historian committee?
Let them have your say.
These are legal issues, really. These are there's no.
Well,
change
it sounds
to the
like
scope.
It's. An issue.
And as I just said, there was a meeting last Wednesday with the administrator and the clerk. I've met with them a number of times. The liaison has met with them.
I'm getting phone calls, and you're saying one thing, they're saying something else. They feel they're being muted and shunned by any real input. And what's our purpose of having a 9-member historian group if they're not going to have any input?
I don't think this changes the intent of what we tried to put forward the first time. I think the key thing here is we have. So, Brian, let me ask you this: if we had we have the Environmental Open Space Commission telling Karen how to do her job, is that correct?
No.
Okay. Then you answered your own question. The historian committee can advise and give opinions, but they shouldn't be felt that they are the controller of our employees as the governing board.
But shouldn't they be able to have input? What's the reason?
They can advise. That's what the whole point of it is, to advise. And they can advise this committee. They can advise.
They don't feel like they're being given due credit.
I would like to state that I think there's a difference of opinion between some of the historians and maybe the township committee. But I think I can tell you this has been discussed for hours.
I mean, is that really this an emergency that needs to be done? I mean, can we give our volunteers an opportunity to come in front of the committee?
I think that's to address the legal issue. And, Brian, you put a fine point on it. That's the point is we're dealing with volunteer members who give up a lot of their time and effort to do all this work. And the point is that the employer-employee relationship that we have with the curator and the assistant curator is, quote, ours. And it shouldn't be theirs, and we don't want it to be theirs. It's for their protection. As you know, there's a lot of requirements as a public employer.
Defined protection?
There's a lot of protection
pertaining to what?
I didn't understand.
You said protection? Protection.
What I'm saying is, as you're well aware, our public employees have a lot. All employees in New Jersey have a lot of rights. Public employees have even more rights. And to place a volunteer board in a supervisory capacity, or what has been interpreted as one, thereafter triggers all of our management obligations onto volunteer members, which isn't fair. It isn't fair that they would have to know all the things that this collective committee knows with regard to how to treat employees, all of our policies, and there's also an issue of coverage. Obviously, when we have employment actions against the township, it's something we see and we foresee and we ensure.
I'm getting what you're saying, but I'm not getting, from what I'm being told, they're not claiming they want to be in control and manage.
Well, we've had this problem. It's been the clarity hasn't been there. They don't know where they need to be with that. And
how do
we really
get that clarified?
That's what this is to do.
A direct order I shouldn't say a direct order, but maybe a discussion on how things are being done. You know what I mean? And they would like that done a different way. I'm just putting it out there. I don't think that their position is to do that with an employee. That's what my concern is here, is that there's no other group in our town that deals with a situation like this would have an advisory group being able to tell an employee that,
I'm not going to that. I'm going to them advising, but genuinely be not listened to, but considered.
This doesn't change that at all.
I agree. Then it's even more important than we list the legality in here, then, Brian. We have to make it clear that they have protocol. Jamie is a direct supervisor. Karen is a direct supervisor. That's who the employees should be answering to if there's a directive of some nature or a choice to do something. It's hard to really put it into words. I had a concern maybe a year ago. Something happened at the museum, and that's when I originally brought this to the town and wanted clarity from Matt on what they could do as advisors to the town, as a historian committee. And I think that we have to be very careful how the relationship is with our employees. We have it nowhere else in the township. So I think that at the very least, that legally we have to let the historian committee know that there is protocol. And to collaborate, that word was so broad that we couldn't figure out how anyone was collaborating. I agree with you that there needs to be an interaction of sorts.
What's the chain of command as far as who reports to who? Who manages our curator?
Who manages what?
The clerk does.
The administrator.
Right. If I can speak with regards to the ordinance, I'm the one that requested the ordinance. I wanted to read it because I had a meeting, and I pointed out Chapter 83, Section 5. I spoke to the township attorney, knowing that a volunteer cannot direct an employee. And it does bring up many situations in the township when it comes to committees. Committees are basically advisory in nature, meaning that they advise the committee, and the committee can take the recommendations. But what they can't do, in my opinion now, they cannot direct an employee. So when I read the powers of Section 83, Section 5, I talked to the township attorney. I said that I wouldn't recommend that any committee in any township, especially here, that they have direction to direct. Even like you said, collaborate is a big word in the sense that it can encounter many things. Collaboration means to cooperate, as we know, but doesn't always mean that when you have to direct an employee. So I felt, me personally, I had no problem with the entire ordinance, but I felt that the township should take a position to remove that portion of the ordinance of powers. The committee, as we just stated, is advisory. Mm-hmm. So it will still have say. It will still, cooperate in that manner. But the overseeing of the curator will be, of course, township committee, the administrator, and the clerk.
Right.
So that, and I spoke to Matt, the township attorney, with regards to that for matters of, any type of thing that could happen. So, in my opinion, to remove that portion out, the curator, I think it's astute to do it. I think it's the proper thing to do because you shouldn't have volunteers. And it's not fair to the volunteers, like Matt said, because they're directed in that nature when really they don't have the authority to do such.
It's a liability for them.
And that's, but I mean, I understand what the committeeman's saying, you know, and I can read the ordinance and I see what their role is. They're still advisory. They still can give their opinion. They can still, you know, but they can give all that. But it's up comes to the township committee if they want to accept those opinions or not accept them. So that's how I read the ordinance myself.
What did you say the reporting structure was?
Well, it'll be, we're going to try to figure that out, Karen and I, but from what I understand, the curator reports to the clerk right now.
We're having that discussion in a lot of places because the clerk is 40 hours a week, the administrator is 20 hours a week, so ultimately things, certain policies report to the administrator, but day-to-day, since he's not here, we need someone to handle the in-between days, so it's a reporting line clerk through the administrator ultimately to the township committee for
decisions. Is the clerk responsible for disciplinary action? What is the clerk responsible for as with the curator?
Well, again, it's
the union.
Our employees would be a series of grievances.
Yeah,
it's a union position, so that's all spelled out for disciplinary specifically.
Right.
There's a whole
is she
procedure.
Copied on all the correspondence that comes out from the museum or the
she,
curator? The clerk.
To my knowledge, yes.
I don't know.
No, it didn't seem so complicated years ago.
No, that's.
I think this uncomplicates.
It's not meant to change.
Well, people seem to
operation
years ago. That way.
Yeah, once we put the ordinance in, right?
It was an ordinance
left it alone
I've got
to protect
just a couple
people.
Of things that I'm hearing is I'm hearing some of the historians seem to have known about this and known about it longer because they're saying things like we need these changes, and others are saying they never saw it before.
Can I address that?
Yes.
No one has seen this document, and no one knew that this was on this agenda before the agenda was posted on Friday, except this committee has seen this document.
So then why does one member of the historian say that they knew that they need these changes? They're long overdue, and we shouldn't wait.
Because it's been discussed for a year and a half to try to clarify this, and the idea of amending the ordinance has been raised over the past year multiple times, saying we understand it's unclear when are we going to do it. This isn't a new topic to the historians.
No, this has
and
been
the,
an ongoing
the
conversation, and ideas being thrown out. You know how everyone's talking and ideas are coming out, and
so it was more.
There's some that feel strongly about.
We don't. The rest of us didn't know. That's the thing too. I didn't.
It has come up. The attorney has advised us.
It was a little sensitive to be talking about it publicly. Mm-hmm. So we did go into executive session perhaps a year ago. I don't know when it was.
Yeah.
And I brought it to the attention of this committee, and that's when it was brought to us by our attorney that an advisory group really can't tell what an employee can do. So that was the reason that this started to be worked on, so that legally we had a position where, okay, we give the committee historians as much as we can, but we protect the township as well. And that's where we're at right now. So it's up to how everyone else feels about this going forward, but I think with the powers, as Jamie has said, we've really left the whole ordinance alone other than that right there and pronouncing them as an advisory group. So they know they're an advisory group to the committee. And their recommendations will be well taken by this committee.
And how does Squire's Point come into play with this?
There's no change. Squire's Point is in the ordinance. There's no change to that language in the ordinance.
So I get your one point. So, and then you just said, so if the historians feel they have something they'd like to see presented there, whatever, they should come to us first?
As an advisory group, they could, and I would hope that they could talk fluently with the curator and be able to have a discussion with them
right.
And say, we'd like to see something like this,
is it possible?
You know, but they can't on-site demand it.
Right, now.
But they got to have, you know.
Is it possible to have the curator be at their meeting when they have it, or is that not?
If you'd like to pay the curator.
I believe she's at a few of their meetings, the curator.
Sometimes, but it
COVID.
The COVID thing, yes.
Okay, see, there's
trying to bring them together.
And let me put facts to that, because you say you've heard, maybe not.
Yeah.
The COVID world has changed everything. So they have now had their meetings in the park where they can have them while the curator has hours in the museum. So the last few months, things changed.
Sure, I get that.
Before that, when they would have their meeting, I believe starting at 7, the curator's day went till 8. She was there for the first hour. Sometimes she would choose to volunteer longer. Sometimes she would leave when her day ended. So
we're back to, if the historians have something special, they're going to need to maybe come to us and then work through us to the curator.
Again, in an ideal world, there'd be this collaborative spirit with
it's
the curator.
Ideal. I can tell it's not going to be ideal.
But I don't know why it wouldn't be. But
but it's not. But already it's not.
But you're right. If the...
I'm looking a way to work through this here.
It would have to come through the committee then to direct back to the curator to do something that the historians think is being done wrong.
I'm not saying being done
or
wrong.
Done differently
I'm
or
just
whatever.
Saying
I mean, the only way to see, I would see changing this otherwise would be they'd be asking to control the curator. That's
some
it's either this or they control the curator.
May
I don't
come up that they think is of historic value that should be shared.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about
right.
controlling the curator.
But that's what
proposing something that
so that's
maybe
what this
is appropriate to be at the museum. I'm just being hypothetical.
That's okay. This. That's what
and
we're
they may
providing
propose,
them.
They may propose things that aren't at the museum at all.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Historic signs in the township.
But it sounds like there's a continuity problem between the curator and me. And historians.
Well, there's no discussion. We haven't rice noticed anyone, but I'm not aware of any.
It's not flowing. Because this is why we're doing this. There's no flow.
It's to eliminate the confusion.
Right.
I think there's a misunderstanding due to the words that are here that may be causing any flow issue.
Yeah. Not being involved, like
direct
in there. You know, I'm working from little information here. I'm just trying to help the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Get people talking nicely about it and
mm-hmm.
and move forward here.
Right.
Personally, I think that most of the historians and the museum function well. When I've heard issues raised in terms of the process was wrong, I say, well, what's the question on the outcome? No, I've heard, I'm quoting historian comments back to me, but I think uniformly, they've all said, no, we like the direction of the museum, we like the exhibits, we like everything that's been done. We just want to know where's our role in the process? And that's what we're trying to clarify here is the process. I'm not aware of any difference of the actual issues where one group said, I want to do this, the other group said, I want to do that, and there was a clash. I'm not aware of that. It's more who's been informed when, who gets to sign off yes and no.
Yeah.
So maybe we've avoided the problem so far, but this is to make it
clear.
Who reports to whom and what the process is.
I don't think it changes their powers any. I don't. It's not intended to change.
It's not intended.
You know the powers.
Well, I mean, there's
going to
be a public hearing coming.
Exactly.
I mean. Obviously, you're going to introduce it. So
when I read it versus the one that we. I mean, we really minced words on for like an hour back in, I guess it was October of 2018, that the original ordinance.
Probably.
This one seems like it weakens them. Now, I know you had legal reasons, Jamie. You said that you were trying to you're getting rid of the word collaboration. I think that's what you were said.
Let me clarify one thing. I did meet with the chairman, and I did. Specify that the ordinance is going to be amended, and I explained that my only issue was that one section. That's all it was. I did have dialogue because of the word collaboration can mean many things, but it shouldn't mean to direct a township employee. And I've been through this in the past, and I understand how committees work. And the last thing you want to have is a situation where an employee feels as if they're being, as you would say, harassed by a committee, which can create many other problems for the township. So to remove that person out of here, because I don't want to get into it too much because we'd have to get into a rice, that I felt that it would be the best thing. But I understand the whole idea of having the committee. It's a great idea. You have volunteers that, you know, are dedicated. When I speak to them, they love the community, they love their history here, and I think that's great. And when I read it, I don't see that part being deleted out of there. They're still going to be able to cooperate with the township committee, and like the committeeman said that. And most of the times, a committee will say, we would like to have a presentation to the township committee. We'll do a presentation. This is what we would like to see. And then the township committee could, you know, make a decision if they would like to move forward. All those things can still happen. But, yeah, the word cooperation meant too many things that, and I felt, and this gave my opinion, and I spoke to the township attorney, that, you know, one of the responsibilities that we have is to protect our employees, our staff, and the residents from any type of lawsuits. So that's the only reason. Other than that, I think the ordinance reads well, and I think it's. You guys can make any changes you want to it. Like the committee said, you still have public comment to come. But I haven't been in too many. I haven't been to maybe one committee meeting. And, I said I would come to more. I told them that I would come to more. And then whatever issues they have, if they want to speak, you know, meet with me, I'm more than happy.
Well, the other thing that I noticed on here, and this was in the original, too, but it concerns me a little bit more now. The Historians Committee may be dissolved at any time by a majority vote of the Township Committee. I'd like to make that a supermajority, because I could so see how, if this thing became politicized, you could dissolve it overnight, and there's a lot of history here.
Where are you at with section?
That's the
last page.
The last page.
That's common in every single one of our groups.
Well, it doesn't
we
make
have to
it
change
right.
Them all.
You know, if it's is it lawful to change it to a...
It can work both ways, Beth.
What do you mean?
Could be something that has value one time and has no value another time.
Well, if it has no value, then I see no problem with...
Fire. Well, if you remove it, the township committee still has that power. I mean, you can do what you like.
Supermajority.
Pardon me?
A supermajority, a two-thirds, instead of a three out of a...
No, I understand your proposal. I'm just saying if it's excised completely, an advisory committee, the township committee... can take whatever action they see fit. You want to add that? You add it, but what I'm saying is the right of dissolution.
Oh, right. I understand
present.
That, but
I understand
you're make it a little comment. Bit hard, just
but
like
also
the administrator's
an
contract.
Annual appointment by the mayor, correct? The members
that's what
of,
they are now.
They're
well,
an annual
and that's
appointment.
Another, and that's another point that you bring that up. You know, I'm going to take it up to the 30,000 feet level. There's a lot of little moving parts going on at that museum. You've got the historians, you've got the museum curator, you've got Squire's Point, you've got people putting personal money into that museum, you've got a 501c3 that's at somebody's house on this committee, you've got the treasurer who is the significant other of one of the persons on this committee, and I think it's I'm just going to be honest, I think there's just... It's too convoluted, and I think that person should recuse themselves from a vote on this.
Okay. I mean, for the public, she's referring to me, which she's more than welcome to. So we've had one proposal for a language change to the ordinance to be introduced. That would be to have dissolution being a supermajority. Are you making that as a motion to amend that language?
How does that work? Because you had a good point with the mayoral appointments. How does that...
It's a mayor appointment.
Personally, I wouldn't advocate for that because I wouldn't want to treat this committee differently than other committees.
Historically, we've done it this way.
And
this
it's
is
worked
what
fine.
We've done.
There's
I don't know why we're... making any changes that way.
Because he's put a significant, he said who he is, he's put a significant amount of money into that museum, more so than the average person would. It gives you puppet strings to control a lot. So I just think it might be worth changing.
Changing what?
Changing the process to how you appoint or...
We have to do it across the board with all of them, every committee. I don't think we need to go there. I think we all are big enough to make decisions that are the right decisions.
Well, you feel the way you feel, and I'll feel the way I feel.
Fortunately, we think
plenty.
Different.
Right, that's what I'm just asking, if there's a motion.
I don't know if it reaches that level, Bev, for a supermajority. It's usually saved for special stuff, thinking through it. But I see your point. There is concern about Mike possibly needing to be recused. I do see that point. I think that's fair. We don't want to see Mayor Schiff. Mayor Schmidt Museum plaque out there on Muskinac River Road someday, you know?
Yeah. Which you haven't, and I've discussed this with the attorney. There's no personal benefit. There's no personal... you're welcome to bring it up. I have nothing to hide, but...
Well, I think that...
There's no conflict of interest here.
Exists.
There's all kinds of perceptions that can be right or wrong, so...
Perception is monetary value.
So is anyone...
We wouldn't have a museum otherwise.
Is anyone...
Yes.
Okay. Is anyone else making a motion to change the dissolution, or is that not...
Or air conditioning?
Okay. Hearing no motion to change the dissolution, is there any other changes to the draft ordinance? And if there are no other changes, is there a motion to introduce... Ordinance 2020-10.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
No.
No.
Yes.
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 You note the public hearing on September 16th on the matter.
Thank you very much. Noted. So the next item of business is... Resolution 59-2020, resolution urging the reopening of Voorhees State Park. As residents became aware, as of August 10th, 2020, Voorhees State Park, which is a state park of more than 1,400 acres of mainly woods with trails for passive recreation, was closed indefinitely to the public. The state told us that was due to staffing issues, and they were reallocating staff to other parks that were receiving higher usage. We believe that the governor should be able to reallocate staffing and resources. In our understanding, Voorhees Park, to keep trails and the like open, takes very little staffing, very little maintenance, and we would hope he could, as soon as possible, managed to reopen Voorhees State Park for our residents. It seems to run counter to everything that that the COVID pandemic best practices dictate, to say that you should close the sparsely populated areas and push people into more heavily populated areas of open space parks. Is there any discussion on Resolution 59-2020? Or is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 59-2020, urging the reopening of Voorhees State Park.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next item is a Resolution 60-2020, redemption of tax sale certificate, whereas the tax collector did sell tax sale certificate 201801 on September 21st. The amount of $18,416.87 has been collected. Therefore, be it resolved that the treasurer be authorized to prepare, the mayor, treasurer, and clerk be authorized to sign a check in the amount of $18,416.87 to Christiana T. C/FCE1 First Trust for the redemption amount, and an additional check of $18,000 for the premium monies collected at the tax sale. Any discussion or a motion?
Make a motion to approve resolution number 60-2020, redemption of tax sale certificate.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. We We have no old business on the agenda.
Yes, I mentioned to you I wanted to talk about the Century of the Women's Right.
Sorry. Yep.
I just wanted to say that this week and into next, we're going to be celebrating a century of the women's legal right to vote. And on August 18th, next week, will be 100 years since Tennessee became the 36th state to ratify the 19th Amendment. And with their ratification, the 19th Amendment became law, ensuring that the right to vote could not be denied based on sex. On August 26th, Secretary of State Bainbridge Colby signed it into law, and I thought it was important to note that it was from his home. It's 100 years later. People are working from home now. He was where it was basically he didn't want the media spotlight. It had nothing to do with a pandemic, but I just found it an interesting point. And then I think it's important to note that although the 19th Amendment was a success for white women, women of African American, Asian American, Hispanic American, and Native American heritage were sometimes disenfranchised due to discriminatory state voting policies, and in the case of some of the ethnic groups, the denial of U.S. citizenship. So it would take virtually half a century later on August 6, 1965, when President Lyndon Johnson signed the Voting Rights Act into law, removing discriminatory barriers that kept many of the people of color from voting. So I just thought that that was worth noting.
Thank you. Any other old business? If not, the administrator's report?
Yes, I'll start with the CWA. We're going to go to closed session on that, so I'll explain more with regards to that. The chairwoman of the Recreation Committee, her and I were in dialogue about movie night, and movie night will be taking place on August 28th at 8 p.m., one of the issues was the fact that I wanted to have a disclaimer on the ticket that they're giving out so the residents know they have to follow the guidelines of the governor's executive orders when it comes to using the parks. And there's a disclaimer on the ticket, so everything's going to move forward that night. And I think that's a good thing for the township. A lot of people are home, and now they get to go out, and hopefully there's not more than 500 people.
Now, I wasn't able to make that meeting. It was like a last-minute recreation meeting that came up. I had a conflict, but I noticed on the ad it said that you have to you should bring the flyer printed out and bring it.
Yeah.
What was the reason for that?
Well, because you want them to have the flyer because the disclaimer's on there.
Okay.
Okay, and we didn't have enough time to actually do tickets. Well, you'd have to go online, print the ticket out, and then you have to bring your ticket. But you could bring your flyer. But we're not going to deny anybody that comes there.
I was
going to
say, because we never had tickets.
Yeah,
walked in. And
right.
I was wondering what that was all about.
And the reason we would have done something like that, but there wasn't enough time to do it, was the fact that you have a 500-person capacity. Mm-hmm. So you can only get maybe 300 tickets because you're going to bring their kids. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the reasons why. And, you know, and I got the idea from another town. Because the chairwoman really wanted to do the movie night, and I thought it was a good thing to do it for the township.
Yeah, they're good.
So, and that was the reason why to have this. So they at the same time they have the actual, got to wear a mask, got to follow social distancing, and then you see what we can do forward. The Amazon account, and I know we've been trying to open it up, but finally it's officially done. I met, it's amazing, it's the procedure. I had to wait a week to have a meeting with them. But we had the meeting, everything's done, and now the township has an Amazon account and can hopefully get some better pricing.
And what's the procedure for?
Well, what's going to happen with that is the fact that only certain individuals can order from there. There's going to be a code, and I have to actually give Amazon the name of the people who can order from it. And if they're not on that list, then they can't order.
So if one of the committees, whether it's REC or library or something, needs something from Amazon,
yeah, they can
contact.
Well, or we could put that, with the approval of the township committee, we could put that person on there. But you still want to have.
Well, for now, we'll leave.
Yeah, you want to have it where because they do it. They do it differently. They do purchase order, but the order comes first, and then they get the purchase order later. So it's Because of the time, it makes it quicker and stuff like that. But, you know, that's up to the township committee. If you would have certain people order, would probably be the right, better thing to do. So, you know, not anybody could just order from it. And then, you know, the next thing you know, you don't even know where the order came from. With regards to the IT consultant, I interviewed an IT consultant, and it came back with a quote, and it's not on our budget, so... because it was a monthly retainer. So I asked him if could we use him as a needed basis, and he had no issue with that. So my next is to see what he would charge hourly. I think it's important to have an IT consultant because, you know, a lot of the equipment around in Lebanon Township, I mean, computer equipment, is old. It's, you know, it's not up to date. We have to get up to date with Windows 10 and then our servers and stuff like that. So as an unneeded basis, I think it's something that we need to do. I'll get what he would charge hourly, and then I'll come back for the next meeting. The insurance renewal, I met with Groendike, myself, the township clerk, and a DPW director. We met, went through the renewal process, and that's on its way, and I signed all the documents there. And so we're going to have our insurance still, which is good. are we going to go into executive session downstairs?
Yep.
Okay, so I'll elaborate on that there. The purchasing manual is almost done. I had to make some changes because some laws have changed over this past year with regards to purchasing. The purchasing manual is basically the direction of how you have to, when you have to go out to purchase and how you order. It's a manual that you would give out to those that are ordering, and they have to follow the guidelines because, you know, there could be some reprimand. You know, if you order, just, you know, you can reprimand them. I mean, not that I want to, but. And then I'm going to have Matt speak on the online tax payment for CityNet. You want to do that after my report?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And the last thing on here was today I received an email from our OEM director, Joseph Marizio, with regards to the 2021 Hunterdon County Multi-Jurisdictional Hazard Mitigation Plan update. It's a program that the township I spoke to Steve Reese, our engineer. The township has been in since, I think, 2016. And it's recommended that we continue it. And I'm going to read why we really should. The township is invited and strongly encouraged to participate in the update of the 2016 Hunterdon County Multi-Jurisdictional Hazard Mitigation Plan, HMP. Per federal regulations, all local governments must have a FEMA-approved HMP in order to be eligible to apply for and receive federal mitigation grants funding for public and private mitigation projects. And further, these plans must be formally updated on a five-year cycle. The county has an HMP that is set to expire on August 21st. The county has been awarded a grant to update the plan as a full multi-jurisdictional HMP to include all municipalities. Please be aware that the state has indicated that it will no longer fund single jurisdiction plans or updates and is strongly encouraging all municipalities to become part of the countywide multi-jurisdictional plan. The reason why I'm bringing it up tonight is because they have to have it ASAP. The deadline is August 21st, 2020, which is Thursday, Friday, but the OEM direct coordinator sent me another email saying, it's changed the date. And I thought further out, but no, it's ASAP. So I have a copy of it. I made the updates to it with regards to, you know, Steve Reese is the flood mitigation plan administrator. And then your point of contact will be Joe Maruzzo, will be primary, and secondary will be Steve Reese. So after the meeting, Mayor, if you wouldn't mind signing it, then I can get it off right away. So. And that's it for myself.
Okay. Do we have any updates on that diversity training?
I have it here.
I haven't heard anything since.
Yeah. It's not actually diversity training. It's harassment training. It's
diversity training. That's what I was asking.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll find out if they do that. I'll find out if they do that. But it's I reached out to him, and I will reach out to him again to see if we can do it. Would have to either be. No, he won't do Zoom. He'll do it in person. But we'll have to do it where, you know.
I mean, there are plenty of online classes. Like most of the diversity training I took when I was in corporate America, a lot of it was online, and it was really effective, and it was beyond.
I'll speak to our risk consultant to see if we'll do it online. But the last time I spoke to him, he said we don't do it online. That there would either be in person, and he'll come on separate occasions to meet. But, you know, if we're going to have it, he could do it for the whole entire committee at one time.
It has to be that person? We can't go out and find it anywhere else?
Oh, you could, but then we probably would have, well, That's our risk. That's our risk consultant that we get through the statewide insurance.
I would maybe the state would have something. All right. Well, I'm going to look to then. I'm going
to. Yeah. I mean, I could. I will ask them about diversity training, but it's mostly anti. It's a harassment training. It's but it can.
Well, the harassment training would cover all forms of harassment.
Yeah. Right.
Including national origin and gender and everything. It should include all.
Well, it basically gets into all that. I had the training. I've been in the classes myself. But I'll check into that, Camilla.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, to amplify what the administrator said regarding the vendor to take online payments of tax, but also of other items. I spoke to our carrier regarding the indemnification clause, and we could talk about this in closed if we have to. I don't really think we need to because their clause is completely one-sided. It takes all risk that for any mistake they would make and places it on our shoulders, the township's shoulders, and the carrier does not cover us for acts of a third party and the opposite actually requests that we get an indemnification clause from the vendor assuming all responsibility for their own acts. Makes perfect sense. I did not even take the step to ask the vendor to make that change. I wanted to report back to Township Committee. I think it's highly unlikely they will make that change. But again, it is a completely one-sided provision that is in their contract to their benefit and to our detriment. One that our insurance carrier strongly opposes and recommends against.
I would think we should ask the company, at least ask them and find out what their position is. And then
yeah, I can certainly ask them to basically take a 180 on it, and we'll do so.
And if we have to, we can Oprah some other municipalities and see what has been agreed.
Yeah, this isn't totally dissimilar to other language that we've had in the past, but. But again, the potential exposure here could be significant. We're talking about financial information, beyond name and address. We're talking, quite frankly, about financial institutional information that we certainly wouldn't see inadvertently sent somewhere else than we're responsible for. But okay, I'll ask them if they will take that change.
Okay. With that, we're on to new business. So the first item of new business is committee's response to requested amendment to our resolution 182020. So the public heard a number of comments from members of the public earlier about this. Let me explain to everyone. So on August 10th, the committee received a letter from a group called the Anti-Racism Coalition of North Hunterdon, which identifies as a subgroup of the Hunterdon County Anti-Racism Coalition, signed by about 45 individuals, many of which are residents of Lebanon Township. I will first read their letter. We treasure the knowledge that our local government preserves and upholds the fundamentally American values of freedom and equality on a local level, and you have assured the public of the township's loyalty to these principles. Lebanon Township's adoption of Resolution 182020, the resolution supporting individual rights and affirming the protection of those rights, demonstrates the township's commitment to human rights as expressed in the founding documents of New Jersey and of the United States. Yet, as times change, governments must respond by clarifying how the nation's cherished laws and values should be applied to new situations. Here we have suggested a few additions to the resolution supporting individual rights as an update in response to the events of 2020. Many of us have been shocked by the violence surrounding this year's protests. We might think that Lebanon Township is immune to such hatred because we've never heard of it happening here. Yet countless American towns and cities have recently been taken by surprise by their worst nightmare, a hate crime or violent incident that draws national attention. Whoever would have guessed that Minneapolis would become the center of a national dialogue on race relations, or that the small town of Bethel, Ohio, population 2,700, would see hundreds of counter-protesters pour into its streets to clash with local demonstrators just last month. Reports from around the country confirm that things like this can happen anywhere, even in a paradise like Lebanon Township. Every town and township should clarify now before the media spotlight turns in its direction, that it stands for genuine American liberty, which includes freedom from hate, freedom from harassment, and freedom from abuse of power. Every day, more and more municipalities, businesses, boards of education, churches, scout groups, and other organizations are adopting resolutions or making public statements that explicitly condemn hate speech and hate crimes. Lebanon Township should not allow itself to be left behind. Updating our resolution supporting individual rights to include specific rejection of hate groups and the symbols of bigotry will ensure that Lebanon Township remains known as a welcoming place for residents, visitors, businesses, and organizations, and will make it easier for us to partner with these entities to achieve great things for our community. Please review our proposed changes and respond by September 15th. We look forward to hearing from you. And specifically, what they've asked in our resolution 18-2020, which has been passed unanimously by this committee for each of the last several years in our January reorganization meeting. And this, in the interest of time, it's available to everyone. I won't read the entire resolution at this point. But they're asking that it be added, whereas the Township of Lebanon, and then insert, stands united with its residents in condemning hate in all its forms, as well as institutional discrimination and oppression. And then it would continue on with the existing resolution. And further down in the now therefore be it resolved, they've asked us to consider inserting the mayor and committee of the Township of Lebanon reject the message of all hate groups, renounce their views, strongly condemn hate in its various forms, and commit to ensuring that Lebanon Township remains a place of goodwill and inclusion where hate, abuse of power, and symbols of bigotry will never be tolerated nor welcome, and then continues on with the resolution. In response, and the Township has considered this matter in previous years when different events have caused us to again review how this committee wants Lebanon Township to be thought of, therefore circulated a letter for the committee to consider as a response. And so I'd like to read that letter and then get any input from the committee in terms of any other proposed replies or any changes to this letter.
Just before we get to that.
Yep.
So what is here in yellow are the actual changes.
The changes requested. that this group has proposed, yep. Yes.
Not just on the front there?
That's all of that on the front is the existing ordinance. That's just, I think, bleeding through.
Bleeding through, yeah, okay.
That's already in. So the proposed reply letter would be to the Anti-Racism Coalition of North Hunterdon. Thank you for your letter to the Township of Lebanon Committee of August 10th, 2020, and thank you for your efforts to fight racism and hatred to make the township a better place. As you note in your letter, Lebanon Township has been proactive not only to ensure the rights of each individual in the township are protected, but also that each individual is treated with respect, emphasis on respect. When we are asked if the township will respond to the terrible events around the nation over the past few months, we reply that we have been out in front of these issues with a comprehensive approach, including the resolution 18-2020, which you cite, supporting individual rights and affirming the protection of those rights. As many of the signatories to your letter know, because we have met them at the township's annual reorganization meetings, this resolution has been unanimously adopted each of the past several years. In addition, as part of our comprehensive approach, a copy of the resolution is given to every township employee and volunteer to make sure that everyone representing the township understands the priority to be placed on respect for the individual. In specific response to the recent national events, the mayor and committee liaisons have held discussions with township employees to both emphasize the message of respect and to explore if more can be done to ensure that each individual is treated with respect. While no organization or person is perfect, we believe Lebanon Township is living up to the high standards our residents expect of it. As members of the Township governing body, we can assure you that each of us is dedicated to respect for each individual in the Township. In larger cities, diversity can be measured by the special interest groups that may form. In Lebanon Township, due to our smaller number of residents spread across a large area, diversity is created by individuals often unique within the Township in their attributes and interests. Lebanon Township has often been described as a, quote, live and let live culture, which in its ideal implementation creates mutual respect and equal opportunity for every individual. This is the goal of the Lebanon Township Committee. Each year before introducing the resolution supporting individual rights and affirming the protection of those rights, we review the text to determine if it can be improved. We've considered adding language to condemn certain behavior along the lines you've proposed, but we have chosen instead to emphasize creating a culture of respect and affirming individual rights. Since this resolution is used as a policy tool for employees and volunteers, we believe this constructive tone is the best way to achieve the goal that all of us are striving for. Sincerely, the Township of Lebanon Committee. So just to emphasize, we have no disagreement with the goal of anti-racism. We're striving for a better community. The proposed reply from the committee is that, as we said, we believe the constructive approach, emphasizing respect for the individual, is the best way for our employees and to modify the behavior and make sure that our employees and all volunteers and, quite frankly, everyone in the township knows that that's the preferred, the ideal, the really, quite frankly, the only direction that people should take. I recently heard a discussion where people were discussing similar types of language and how to best advance the state of relations in the country, really. And someone pointed out, if you're trying to influence people, if you're trying to change behavior, if you're trying to make this a better place, it's more difficult if you start out by either insulting or condemning. Why not take the proactive, constructive approach to try to guide behavior to where we want to be? I believe that's where this committee has been in considering this in the past, and so I think the reply that we're giving is that we have been proactive, we've been ahead on this, we have nothing to apologize for, and we believe our resolution is most constructive as it stands.
In January we replied, correct?
Yes.
Right. And now they want to change it.
Yep.
If we change it, will the Trump signs be replaced that were taken from the California area?
That's
not likely. Will it?
That's a challenge.
And this is obviously a political thing. It's a piece of paper. It's a feel-good piece of paper. We already addressed it. It's redundant. I'm going to stand my ground to our original January resolution.
Any other comments or discussion? Maybe I would just add, replying to some of the preview comments from earlier in the meeting, you know, statements like, I know there's the sort of the catchphrase that silence is violence and things. Lebanon Township is not silent. I don't think you can accuse us of being silent. As I said, we're ahead on this. This is part of our core, and we have nothing to apologize for. We definitely share the same goals, and maybe we have different specific ideas on how to get there, but we have been proactive with our employees, with our volunteers, and with our position to the public. So if this letter is to be from the full committee,
do we have to take any action at all?
We would take a motion to endorse sending this letter as a reply.
Anybody?
I'll make a motion to send this letter that we've just read publicly to this anti-racism coalition of North Hunterdon.
My next question is simple. Are they going to ask for another amendment later? I mean, where does this stop?
We don't know.
They can ask whatever they want.
Of course they can, but I'm just saying, as a committee.
Well, sure. My position is similar to yours. I like what we do every year. I don't want it. Anything added to it? I think what we say every year is well enough said, and we do agree with this feeling, you know, in a better place for everyone. I think we all agree to that. And I just like where we've been for the last 3 years with this resolution that we give at every reorg meeting. And for me, I prefer to leave our resolution 18-2020, 17-2020, whatever, way it is. I'm good with it. Words have been spoken, and documents that have been depicted in here go back years, and I know that maybe it's not a living document, but I think if we respect the Constitution and
people, individuals,
and the,
right,
it's all said there for us. So maybe I've said enough, but I do like the way our resolution reads as is, and I do like the word that we're using with respect. You know, more, less negative. Let's, we respect, everyone respects each other in any way we can. We just make it a better place that way. I think that's where we need to be. That's my feeling.
You made a motion, I will second it.
Roll call.
I just would like to say a few words
myself.
I mean, there's, I've been struggling with this mentally too. There's a lot going on out there. It's, some of it I agree with, some of it I don't agree with. And hatred works both ways, and to what you said about Trump signs disappearing. And I was so excited to go down Sliker Road last week and see that the house, or not Sliker, Hill Road by Sliker, the house with the pond, I think it was, had the sign, Biden hats for sale, Trump hats for sale. I said, how civilized? I mean, why, I don't, that's the thing. I don't know why there has to be all this vitriol all the time. So with that, I mean, I think what Mike wrote is a really good letter. I would not mind taking a crack at possibly in January, looking again, or before January, actually, just looking at the words, because with the members of the coalition, when they wrote this, what I picked up on is, yet as times change, governments must respond by clarifying, you know, laws are laws, but sometimes you have to look at it anew and just see if there is something you can do to improve it that stays within the confines of the law and that addresses everybody, because we do represent everybody. So all viewpoints.
And for the record, I believe everybody deserves a seat at the table, whether Republican or Democrat.
And I just wanted to emphasize, when you said, where is this going? This letter, this response, I think even this discussion is not meant to stop any further discussion. It's not meant to say we're not going to discuss this. I think it's to introduce the thought that rather than condemning, can we find more ways to proactively be constructive in getting to that goal?
Yes, without having words forced.
Right, so I think a follow-up discussion is certainly welcome.
Right.
And you know, as your letter said, and we've done every year, we discuss it, we talk about it, and I think, you know, I understand the intent here. I know what they're looking for, and it's nothing I disagree with, but in the context of what we've created as a resolution, I would like to see it as a more of a positive for the township of what we want to be, and it feels like we read this through and then there's this big kind of like negative hole, and I'd like to see, you know, because we don't have that. I don't believe we have that in our community, whether we have a sign at the end of Mount Grove Road or Musconetcon River Road regarding not swimming. I think that's just because we don't have bathrooms there.
That's a different matter to take up.
Right. But this is to, you know, I think this is worth having the discussion with, you know, and maybe asking the coalition of, you know, to see if they can, you know, this was their recommendation. Maybe they can come up with some other ideas as possible ways to, now that they know what our intent is on how we want to, you know, how we want it to read and how we want it to portray, if they can work with us and come up with something that works within what we want to, how we want it to read.
And I think you just stated it perfectly. That's the purpose of this letter. We've heard their proposal. We'd like to explain where our thought is, our intent, and this is a dialogue. It's not
right.
A,
no, this isn't.
It's not a rejection. It's a dialogue.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think we need to keep this discussion open. I think
absolutely.
Because
no, I'm not.
Sometimes, unless things are in writing, you don't take it to heart as much. You know, like when you see the words and you, and again, I spent a lot of time. I was reading through hours and hours worth of corporate statements and municipal government statements and the prosecutor's office statements, trying to just get my head around, you know, how do we address this? How do we get ahead of it? How do we not just have this be lip service?
I never thought I would be doing Google searches on what defines a hate group.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. Who's tracking me? The stuff I've been looking up is crazy. So it's...
Well, yeah, there's a lot you could say about that, interpretations of...
Yeah.
What's a hate group? If
and it's just trying to understand the definitions.
If I don't agree with somebody, does that mean I'm a hatred person? I find that offensive. I get offended too, because I'm not really have any hate in me whatsoever.
I learned something new too.
Part. I'm just opinionated.
I looked up the word condemn just to see what it actually meant, and I learned that condemn I knew meant strongly disapprove. But then they said if you really want to condemn, you say abhor. It's like a Latin-based word that means you're taking aback in horror over it. So, like, there is a way to say it and keep it positive, too. So, it's, I just, you know.
Well, I'm not very good with my wording, I guess.
So, there is a motion and a second.
Second. Roll call.
Roll call.
Yes, for now.
Yes.
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 Yes. So, that letter will be coming to the organization promptly. We look forward to a continued dialogue, as I think everyone expressed. Okay, next item on the agenda is appointment of special law enforcement police officer. This is a Class 3 officer that would be assigned at Voorhees High School. Voorhees High School, we thought, was going to be opening very soon. You might have seen that they have their own mold abatement issue, so I believe until mid-September they're now estimating that they need to be closed. The police chief has met with a number of candidates, and he has forwarded to us the information on Thomas Y. Hash, Jr., Mr. Hash, retired officer Hash, has been with the Township of Clinton Police Department for approximately 18 years. He has worked in North Hunterdon High School. He's well qualified and understands the policing situation. And for everyone in the public, this is under a shared service agreement where the township provides police to work as school resource officers in Voorhees High School, since that's within the township perimeter. They request three so-called Class 3 officers, which are retired officers that are able to continue law enforcement after they've retired. And so the motion that we would like to entertain would be to appoint Thomas Y. Hash, Jr. as a Class 3 special law enforcement officer in Lebanon Township, to be sworn in at a later date. Any discussion?
I'll make that appointment for Thomas Y. Hash, Jr. to be a school Class 3 school resource officer.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And the last item is not one that I'm asking for action on, but a request came from the power company, JCP&L. After the last storm, statewide but also locally, they pointed out that the damage again that created days and days of outages, they point out there's no other excuse but tree-related. As we know, over the last couple of years, they've...
I keep saying...
And that's what they're asking. So they've gotten approval year after year to increase the amount of trimming along the roads, especially along their main feeder lines. They point out, and I don't know the exact detailed numbers here, but let's say they trim 20 feet back from the edge of the road. If there's a 50-foot tree just past that and it falls, it takes down the power lines. So they're, again, talking to the BPU, and they're looking for expressions of opinion, really, from towns to ask, would we endorse more aggressive vegetation management, i.e. would we endorse more trimming of trees in order to have more secure power, or are we willing to put up with power outages in order to keep closer tree lining? So I'm not asking for opinions tonight because I think this is an issue that requires some thought.
I'd like to give it. I agree. I believe we need to be more aggressive. Absolutely.
So I think
I drive around these roads, and I drive on all the roads in the area. It's becoming a canopy everywhere I'm going, which come wintertime again in ice and snow, stuff's coming down. And the other point I want to make is I don't know how, if it's even possible, but a lot of spots, the phone lines are separated from the power lines, and those are just tangled up in vines.
Oh, the phone lines? Yeah.
Phone lines.
There's a whole different level of safety.
I mean, that's something that, how can we do something with that? It possibly is something to be considered. I mean, I'm seeing giant cables just sagging. You could jump up and touch them there.
You see where they cut the phone poles and they hang a 4-foot section. They leave them hanging on the poles, on the wires. You can't do that with power lines. There's the BPU, the state
part of the
manages
issue,
this. And you know.
Well, the last time through, they just addressed pretty much ash trees was their pretty
correct,
much their their really my, their main focus.
Thank goodness! Imagine if those ash trees were still here this morning.
You know, but those are straight. Those are straight up. You know, they pretty much.
Yeah.
They're not the trees you're talking about with the canopy.
Well,
they're a different
yeah,
tree. But so they weren't really looking at those. That's part of the problem.
I understand. Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
So yeah, I think they. You know, and I mean, they had marked trees on my property that they never cut down. Actually, they came back like 2 days before the storm and cut one down because it was 3/4 hollowed out. And I guarantee it would have been down if they hadn't.
Yeah.
So at any rate, I'm just posting that next meeting will. I'd like to give everybody an opportunity to think about this and.
I think about it every day.
You get down to details. If someone has a 250-year-old specimen tree, do we give people the right to omit single trees and how far back and all those.
I think we have to be reasonable.
Yeah, but I think we need to express that in a letter to them to.
And I think the health of the tree is also a big element. You know,
the danger, the liability. Some trees are just aesthetically beautiful for the area. You know,
as I understand it from the conference calls they've had, within the right of way, they're able to cut trees. If they see a tree, 50-foot tree, 30 feet in on private property that they know is going to fall, they have to get permission from that owner. Of course,
right.
It's private property. And so
right.
It's not as easy
though.
As... Pardon me?
That wouldn't change, would it?
I don't know. And maybe they're trying to get laws changed and they're looking for support. We have to get a little more information about exactly
uh-huh.
what they're
okay.
doing.
The right-of-way and stuff, and liability. And
yeah. Yeah. I just wanted
the
to
last
raise
time they walked
I
mean, through, they
just
didn't go past
the property. You're going to need something.
They didn't
you're
go past
changing the law,
you know. So I don't think they were really looking past that 20-foot.
No, I don't. I don't.
You
think
know,
they
so
were
I don't even think they were bringing up that tree before, because when they walked down my road, they pretty much stopped and they're like, they actually the one tree that was a question on my property, they actually got the tape measure out and measured and go, okay, half of it's inside of that line, so. It counts, you know, so I don't think they were looking past that, you know.
And probably not because it's a big production.
Right.
To start
knocking on doors.
Reaching out to, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so that'll be for next meeting. We know one answer, but the rest of us can think about this. Which takes us to presentation of vouchers. Where for anyone who's newly attending the meeting, we read out vouchers over $1,000. And then approve the combined voucher list.
And also, just since people tend to jump off at this point, all this stuff is recorded, so if you didn't hear us, you can go back and get the recordings and listen to it, because that's clear where it may not be picked up clearly on the phone.
Thank
so you can hear everything Brian says.
Okay. I have one from Griffith Allied Trucking, LLC, for some diesel fuel, $2,141.68. I have one from Campbell Foundry for some bike grates, Red Mill Road, actually, the grates that, you know, the sewer grates. They call them bike grates cause so that the bikes don't trip over them, $4,800. I've got Eastern Concrete Materials for some stone. And that is $1,017.32. I've got one for the Lebanon Township Board of Education, September 2020 school tax, $1,755,590. I've got one for W.E. Timmerman for a bunch of parts, truck parts, clamps, side door, $4,969.26. I've got one for U.S. Municipal for air filters, fuel filters, $1,012.02, and then one for the North Hunter and Voorhees Regional High School September 2020 school tax for $904,465.67. That's it.
None that apply for Mr. Wonder. So I have one for DeFrancesco Bateman. This is for legal fees related to county tax appeals for the past month or so, $4,650.
Is that your only one?
Yep.
I have one for Griffith Allied Trucking, which is gasoline for the police, which is $1,029.88. The other is for B&R Uniform, which is for badges for the police officers, pretty much all the police officers, which is $1,699.50.
I have one here for Gephardt and Kiefer for general July services for $2,084.
So the total voucher list before us is $2,721,048.82. Is there a motion to approve the voucher list?
I'll make
second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. A couple items of correspondence. First, as the administrator mentioned, the Recreation Committee Commission is asking or notifying us that they are planning a movie night in the park on Friday, August 28th at 8 p.m. Next, we have the tax collector's report for the month of July 2020. Tax collector informs us that receipts for the year taxes for the year 2020, $1,204,510.25 collected during the month of July. Taxes related to 2019, $26,934. Interest collected of $6,497.38 for total receipts of $1,237,941.63. Next, we bring to people's attention the New Jersey Department of Agriculture announced instructions for residents about the spotted lantern fly. Hunterdon County is a quarantine county where this spotted lantern fly is identified as an issue. This press release is on the township website if you'd like the full details of how to control that. And finally, we have correspondence, the curator's report for August 19th.
I have nothing to offer right now.
Nothing specific to highlight on that. With that, we would now open the meeting up again to public comment on any comment any member of the public would like to make.
I'll make a motion to open up a public comment.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And again, I believe...
All participants are unmuted.
So the participants have been unmuted. If you'd like to make a comment, please identify yourself. And the floor is yours.
Hi, this is Claire McNover at Lovesnack on the Road 106. I would suggest that perhaps in the future, when there are new ordinances or amendments to ordinances on the agenda, if there could be a little sheet attached to the agenda where it's on the website with the provenance of the ordinance and what the sort of trigger point was that made it come before the committee now and the language that's actually being proposed in the ordinance. The mayor gave a very able explanation of the history of the amendment of the historians tonight, but it would have been really nice, I think, for the public to be able to read that in advance to be better informed, and I know there is a public hearing, but that's much closer than it might sound on the calendar. There's only one committee meeting between now and then the meeting the public hearing will be at, and I think that language would also be very useful to have in written form where everyone can access it, make sure not just the public is really informed, but it sounds like there's some disparity in the township committee members' level of knowledge about this ordinance and the historian's committee level of knowledge. I know our administrator said that he informed them. Sounds like some of the historians don't feel very informed, so we could just take human error and opinion out there and have all of that history, provenance, triggering event, and actual language written up. I know there was some ordinances introduced last meeting as well that would have been great to be able to read the language in advance of the meeting so that the public can be fully armed with the facts to make good informed choices, and the committee and all the other parties who are involved as well. Thank you.
Let me just, while this normally isn't a question and answer, but let me just reply to that. First of all, the information is all available, and I know it's not always easy, so I don't want to say it's obvious or in any way, but the provenance of the ordinances is in online. You can look up the prior ordinance, and you'll see when it was introduced originally, when it's been modified over the years, et cetera. The actual amendments that are being considered are a working document of the committee until the committee introduces it. And it's not unusual that this committee proposes changes and makes changes during this discussion. As you know, with the Open Public Meeting Act, this committee has no discussion on these until we're in the public meeting. So, for example, what you were hearing tonight was the first time that this whole committee had a document in front of itself. Now the procedure is that the text that was introduced tonight will be published in the newspaper. It will be online. The public reads what was actually introduced. It's not hypothetical. And then we have the public hearing, as you stated, September 16th, which is when the public has the opportunity with full information to have their opinion known before the committee votes on whether to adopt it. So that is the procedure. But your comments are always duly noted. We always try to do better in being more transparent with the public. Next comment.
Hi, this is Sarah Vargas over at Highland Drive. So I wanted to say thank you for your thoughtful response to the amendment. I wanted to make a few comments. One, I don't believe that the change in the language is political. I think it's just basic human rights to make sure that everybody is included. So I don't believe it's political, and if you passed it, or if you didn't pass it, it wouldn't result in people tearing down Trump signs or anything like that. I don't believe that makes sense. And the Trump signs, like, that's your right to display your political affiliation, community support, and in that whole entire amendment, it doesn't take that better right away. I do want to say that the word condemn, I understand that it sounds negative, but the things that follow condemn are the negative. So condemn racism, sexism, bigotry, hate, all that stuff, all of that is the negative in the statement. The condemn is just a vessel to say these are things that we don't approve of. And it doesn't say them. It doesn't mean that if somebody displays an act of hate or says something racist offhand or something, you know, that's offensive, that doesn't mean that we can't respect the conversation with them and be constructive and say, hey, that was offensive. Let's talk about it. That doesn't take away the conversation. I just felt like that's important to say and communicate, because I want to have a discussion and I want this to be something that's always happening, because we always learn from discussion, and that's one thing. And so I hope, as you move forward and you talk to the committee, that you listen to experiences people have had that may qualify under hate in this town. And as, like, I love this town, and I don't think it's really beautiful. I really don't. But there are experiences that have that are hate. And that doesn't mean that our town is hateful. It just means that we should be able to address those and say, hey, that's not okay, and that's not what our town represents. And I think the language change emphasizes that this is where we stand. So thank you guys, and thank you for just addressing it and talking about it. Okay. Have a good night.
Thank you very much. Any other comment?
Oh.
Yep. Yes.
Hi, Beck Hoffman. I'm chairman of the historians, and I have to straighten out a few things you said tonight. One, I did not know there was an ordinance going on, and I met with the business administrator went for our Thursday meeting, and I was not aware or made aware of an ordinance being drafted. The other thing I'd like to straighten out is that the historians are not asking to manage the curators, the current, future curators. So you're saying that we're trying to manage the curators is a falsehood, and I wish you would correct that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment? Last call for a public comment. Hearing no others, is there a motion to close public comment?
I say it all the time. Somebody else should say it.
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Is there a second?
I thought, did Brian second it? Did you second it? Okay, I'll second it.
Seconded by Ms. Kohler. Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. With that, the committee will be going into executive session. We have a number of topics. No action is expected, so there'd be no reason for anyone to wait for anything. There will be no action after this. The first item is a matter of professional services contracts, general matter of professional services contracts, personnel policy related to the police department, a contract matter related to a shared service with the township, a matter of building safety, discussion of collective bargaining, the CWA contract, and as I mentioned at the beginning, discussion of the executive session minutes of August 5th, 2020. That would be Resolution 61, 2020. If there's a motion to go into executive